It is a Friday at the offices of China Hall. Oh, and this is the camera we're starting with. That's the GoPro.
The GoPro.
I love that angle. Wide view. It actually shows some of the artwork out there in the common area, which is cool too. See it?
Oh, yeah.
We are at the offices of China Hall on a Friday, getting back into the podcast routine.
That's right.
And we are ready to rock and roll.
I feel like I've missed like the last two of them.
You have.
I think I have.
Yep. Your business must be booming. You have no time for us anymore up here at the China Hall.
Something like that.
Who are we joined with today?
Mike Beneke.
Mike Beneke. You know that there's a Beneke stamped into the concrete out and around Rochester?
I didn't.
Well, you'll learn about that. Okay. Why would that be stamped into the concrete in Rochester?
Well, I think the technical answer is because it's required by city ordinance.
Is it really?
It is, yeah. There's an ordinance to, when concrete gets poured in a city right-of-way, that it has to be marked by who did it and what year it was.
Interesting.
For purposes of, like, warranty yeah. period. So if you see anything that's been stamped within the last year, it's all cracked up, call Public Works, and they'll get us back out there to take care of it.
That's funny. Oh, there we go. So the reason your last name would be stamped in there is because of the company that you represent.
Yes. So Beneke Construction.
Nice.
Yes. So we do perform construction work around Southeast Minnesota and do perform concrete work and masonry work and carpentry work all over the place. So we've got a lot of folks out there making buildings and making sidewalks and making things out of nothing. So.
And you're on some fun projects.
We've got some cool stuff going, yeah.
One of them is right downtown. We'll see if Josh can guess it. It's right downtown. It is within it's within a block. It's historical. No guesses yet. You can make as many guesses as you want. It's historical. It's owned by the city. Am I doing okay?
You're doing good, yeah.
Okay. What else? It has a nice light on the outside of it that really is an icon for Rochester.
You're going down this way?
You're pointing in the right direction.
Is it the Kaler?
No, or it's not the Kaler.
One of the hotels, though.
Nope, it's not one of the hotels. There used to be, back in the day, a bookstore in the building. That bookstore was ended with Noble. Started with Barnes.
Barnes and Noble.
Yes, you're close, but it's no longer. So what was that? What building are we talking about?
I don't know. I wasn't here back then.
So there, it's still there.
It's right in the heart of the city.
It's on the Peace Plaza.
Okay.
It's across from the new Mocha.
I haven't been there yet.
We'll help you out.
We'll have to go walk by there.
That's right.
So what's your cool project?
We'll fly the drone. We'll get a live video. And we'll go look at the building right now.
So what is that cool project downtown?
We did just get done working down there at the Chateau Theater, which was a project to get that facility ready for its kind of initial reuse from when the city bought it. So it's been vacant for a while, but they invested some dollars into it. And I think just recently the group that's going to program the space was kind of awarded, mm-hmm. and they'll be getting into there. I think this fall they're planning to actually have their exhibits getting going. So it's been a long time coming for the community, city residents, people that are, you know, really wanting to see that building get reactivated. It's been, I think, a couple of years since the city purchased it, and now it's going to get repurposed, reused, going to be activated. People are going to be down there. So there's still construction going on adjacent, you know, on some other properties, but it'll be nice to get people in there again.
What was some of your scope of work on that building? What did you guys?
Well, one of the really neat things was when you walked in there to begin with, there was these escalators that used to be used for Barnes & Nobles, these escalators that go up and down, and taking the escalators out was kind of a big deal. And then there the whole floor of the space was, you know, out of steel bar joists and deck, and taking the whole floor out to make it much more open and voluminous. And so it's basically, it wasn't set up to be that usable before, and now it's going to be much more usable. And also highlighting some of kind of the historic aspects of the building. We did some, there was some stained glass windows that got restored as part of the project. And the marquee on the outside, like you mentioned, there's a cool sign and some lights that are kind of flashing. And
it's iconic. That thing's awesome.
It is. It's going to be a postcard, you know, or it has been.
Yeah, right.
City of Rochester. And as that stays with the heart of the city and how things are going to get made, is maked over a word?
Or we just made it.
Would it be making? Making over.
Making over.
It's going to be making.
We're adding it to the
makeover. I mean, that'll be part of the imagery, I think, that stays. That's one of the things that's going to be, it kind of keeps that historic cultural fabric down there. So,
yeah.
But the city did put some money into that facade a couple years ago, kind of as a first thing, and restored some of the light fixtures and make sure all that stuff was working. So, yeah, really cool project to work on.
There you go. Now you don't have to. Now you know.
Now I know.
Yes.
I
know. Chateau Theater Building.
I was wondering where you were going with the, you know, it's a historic project or property, because it seems like there's a little bit of a, people like historic buildings. People like to maintain some of the old aspects of buildings. I mean, in this space too.
Yeah.
You've got some things that you've maintained, and especially with the front of the building and, you know, paying homage to what it used to be and mm-hmm. all that stuff. People like to be in old spaces that kind of have some modern and new amenities. So.
Yeah, that charm of another project. We don't have to spend all day on projects. I could. Another project that you participated in, another historic building. What one was that? Right to the sort of north, south, to the south of us. Has a co-working space up above.
The Conley Moss building.
That's
now called the Conley Moss Downs building. But so the Blue Duck Kitchen is in there, the restaurant, and then the Collider upstairs. And the Downs family had purchased that and did the renovation, so they have their business in there. That was a pretty cool project. It was the first project in Rochester, in Olmsted County, to go through the historic rehabilitation tax credit process, which is kind of bizarre, because this tax credit has been around for a long time, and a lot of projects need, whether it's a little bump with city assistance or a bump with some other type of tax credit, whether, you know, low-income housing tax credit, or a new market tax credit. This historic rehabilitation tax credit's been around for a long time, but not many people use it or know about it or know how to do it or are scared of it, that kind of thing. And so that Hunter and Tracy Downs, they blazed the trail on saying, yeah, let's do this thing. And that building needed that incentive to make it feasible to work out. And it's a great new use of a historic building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it ties in so many different uses, which is cool, with the restaurant, the event space, the small business space upstairs, the co-working, the individual office space. It's like, who would have imagined that building would be this today, you know?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, when we got engaged in it, it was hard to see the vision at the beginning because, you know, you looked at it. The whole building was covered in paint, for one. It's like four layers of paint on all the bricks on the outside.
And so every new owner was like, I hate this color, we're going this color. I'm going to hate this color, we're going this color.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, you could see it like chipping through and wearing through in the different layers, and it was like, wow, this thing's been painted a whole bunch. And that was probably a good thing from trying to keep some of the water out of the building, you know, and we did some tuck pointing as part of the project. But removing the paint, that was a very tricky process that took several attempts, you know, to how are we going to do this, what's going to work, and then of course trying to do it in a way that didn't damage the underlying bricks and stuff. So
wrap it? I feel like I remember this big like wrap over the exterior of it, and then people working underneath this wrap. Like
we had a big scaffold was set up, and it was all tented off, and some of that was due to just temperature and weather and stuff, but also to contain, you know, some of the work that was going on because it's right downtown.
Did you sandblast it, or what did you guys do?
No, we used a chemical stripper to strip the paint off, and it took multiple attempts. And sandblasting was something that was discussed, but it turned out it was going to be too destructive, so we couldn't go with that method because it was going to blow the bricks apart. Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of go with a less, you know, harsh method to do it. And we tried a bunch of different products, and you know, the first thing that we tried out was just water. Like, okay, let's just pressure wash it.
Well, that didn't work. There's a couple layers here, huh? Turn it up higher. Get the heated one.
Yeah, yeah. So it took a whole bunch of tries, but finally we found a method that would work, and then end up having to do some areas twice because it didn't come all off and all that stuff. But it looks great now.
Yeah.
It looks great now. So
yeah.
Glad so, that process is over.
So before Beneke Construction was building cool buildings, let's do the origin story. Where does the story begin for Beneke Construction? And
oh man, like, are we going back to the origin of the company, or when I was a glimmer in my parents' eyes? We go back further.
We're going back. So I remember growing up, and it wasn't Beneke, even though people called it that. The name of the company was Elvin E. Beneke, and
that's
so
right.
So there's some history there of like, who's Elvin? You're Mike.
Yes.
Who's Elvin? Right.
So Elvin E. Beneke, kind of a neat tidbit, I guess. He actually started, he was a inspector for the city of Rochester. This is before the construction company. And his idea was, you know, I'll be able to do this stuff myself. He was inspecting a lot of work, and I don't think was too thrilled about some of the craftsmanship and the quality of it. And so he said, I'll just do it myself, basically. And so he was the founder of the company, started the company in 1937. So been a while, I guess.
I'm trying to think who I know that was born in that era. And like, we're going back grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah, so he'd be my great grandpa.
Really?
Yep. And I never met him. So he had passed before I was around, and started that business. And so, yeah, now we're in the fourth generation, but done a lot of projects around town. And we're actually, you mentioned the stamp thing. We're on like a hunt right now, like a treasure hunt, a scavenger hunt, to kind of rebuild some of the history of what the company's done. And not a lot of the stamps are around from super, you know, a long time ago, but we're trying to find old stamps. The older, the better, you know, and it's all like, usually they're all worn off. The oldest one we found is from 1948. There's still a stamp in Rochester from 1948, which is pretty cool.
That is.
So where's
it at?
I think it's at the Slatterly Park, like, pavilion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it was about 10 years ago, someone had found this stamp and sent a picture in to the company, and
oh,
it was like,
cool.
Wow, this is pretty cool. So
yeah,
it was so faint, like faded out, and you know, you could barely see the texture, that they took a marker and markered in the letters so that you could kind of see it better.
Mm-hmm. So like they put a piece of paper over it and did it that way? And
no, they actually vandalized public property by taking a permanent Sharpie marker.
Oh, geez.
And got into the grooves.
There you go.
But
that's harsh.
It's probably washed off, you know, since 9 years, 10 years ago now. But
you can go check. Let us know.
So if you're out and about, yeah, just find some old stamps. Send a picture, because we want to create like a little, scavenger hunt type of a thing,
and then like a timeline of what they probably look like too would be cool.
Yeah.
How do they even stamp it? Is it a metal piece?
Yeah, we just have it's like a branding iron. It's actually part of the initiation for anyone that comes for Beneke. It's like, all right, get the concrete stamp out. There's the fire.
Get the torch, heat it up.
Yeah. Oh, what do you mean?
Right,
you
on the back.
What do you mean you don't want to be part of the team? Like, come on.
It's a pretty big commitment. I mean,
that's not true.
It's not set in stone.
That's not true.
But it is placed in concrete.
So they form it, and it's wet concrete, and then you do it right there with the iron.
Huh. Yeah, just put it in there, and it's done.
That's cool. We're going to learn a lot about construction on this podcast, I feel, Josh.
Mm-hmm. I think I need like my own stamp now. Just start stamping things.
Sometimes there's wet concrete. You see people put their handprints in it, or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Carve something in, or occasionally you'll see a bike tire rolling through there. Yeah. Or a car tire. I think it was a couple of years ago, it was in the paper, like a brand new highway.
Was it highway? I remember Broadway, but
Broadway?
I remember Broadway, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, somebody just rolls right through, you know, just goes right through, and I mean, it's a good thing that people don't get hurt when that kind of stuff happens, but it is a big deal as far as redoing all the work and that stuff. But yeah. So we do some work for some fast food chains, and it is amazing. We'll re-pour like the drive-through areas and stuff like that, and it's amazing. People will stack up, like the concrete is being poured, and people are stacked up waiting, wondering, when is this going to reopen? I need to get my my burgers.
That's awesome. It's fun.
You probably see some of the, you know, people in their routines, and they got their routine, and they're there at 11:30 every day or whatever it is. And
because one of the big projects that you work on quite often are McDonald's, right?
Is that fair? For McDonald's,
yeah. I always remember seeing your job trailers at the different McDonald's locally, at least when I'm driving around. It's like, facade improvements, and I'm sure other things.
Yeah,
it's cool. I'm thinking of all the stuff I've seen in concrete. I've seen a Leaf. I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. I was just at a building down on First Avenue, and I know the owner of the building, and he had wrote his name in there. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen the footmarks before.
Just a snow angel in concrete.
No.
There's some cool stuff that I don't think we've done one of these recently, but you can basically get anything you want in concrete. And you can buy like these liners or these stamps, form liners, that you can take an image. Like you could take a picture, you can do whatever, and you can get that kind of in texture put into a concrete wall or a concrete slab or whatever it might be. So
right.
Yeah. I mean, I think the limitation for some folks is probably the cost aspect of it or the timelessness of it, you know, like, okay, what if I change my mind? What if I, you know?
Yep.
But yeah,
you shouldn't have done that.
Tear out the concrete. We're starting over.
And that's why people paint over stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Paint over it. Three layers.
Did you notice? So here's one that I noticed the other day. They just tore down the Virgils on 2nd Street. Mm-hmm. Did you notice the red stripes that are on the side of the building, the Anderson wheelchair building next door?
No.
So there's like these red stripes that I wonder if it was a mural from back in the day. And once this building came down, you can see it, and it's there right now. So it's neat too, like even probably with some of your projects where you get down to the base and it's like, oh, there is stuff here.
Can discover some of the history that's been forgotten and all that stuff. And sometimes you uncover stuff and it's like, wow, this is so cool. We need to embrace it. We need to do something with this, you know? So you probably found some stuff as this project was going along. Did you find stuff and you were like, wow, this, we can use this.
Yeah. So we have, I actually need to like, put in a frame, but we have some pieces from the newspaper. We have there is like written checks that were up here for different businesses that were super old.
Yes.
And some stuff like that. A super old key, you know, like a skeleton key. I have it. I need to frame that up. So was it a given? Were you going to be in the construction business when you were 2 years old? Like you were like, I'm in it.
No, not really. Actually, I've been in there about, I don't know, depends how you count it, but let's just say 13, 14 years in the business, and it's been a good fit, but it wasn't always a foregone conclusion. My dad has been in the business and is still in the business, but he didn't really push me or, you know, say, hey, you should pursue this. He was kind of let me forge my own path, and I went to college undeclared. As a major, you know, and I'd work for the company over the summers and here and there, you know, in the field. And when I went to college undeclared, I'm guessing some alarm bells were maybe starting to go off in his head at that time, like, okay, how long are we gonna let this go on? You know? But he never really, you know, pushed that. And actually, it was a family Christmas, everyone's all together and stuff, and aunts and uncles, and my cousin Aaron, who currently is in the business, he's the president of the company. He pulled me aside and kind of put his arm around me, and you know, we'd been celebrating Christmas a little bit, and it was kind of later in the evening. Anyway, I'll let you get that visual in your head. So he said, you ought to think about coming into the business, because one, it's really fun. You get to meet a lot of new people, and you get to do a lot of, you know, projects for businesses. You get to learn about their businesses. And he said, and I think it'd be good for you to come in because, you know, we'd like to have you. So it was that point where I think after that winter break, going back to college, it was like immediately declare the major civil engineering, and then end up doing construction management too, and said, all right, let's get serious about what you're going to do with your life. Everyone has that moment, you know, like, okay, you're going from, you could go anywhere, unlimited possibilities, to, okay, let's go. What are you going to do? You know?
What's realistic?
Yeah, and that was probably. I always think about like, what would I have done? What would have been my plan B?
Professional football wasn't in the cards?
Actually, it was.
Was
when
it?
When I was like a little kid.
Yes.
You know?
Dude, I did it too. I'll give you a story, but yes, what was it?
Professional video game tester, I think. Oh, I was, like, nice. Looking at old stuff from like elementary school, and I was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Video game tester. Genius.
Was
and
that
now, who would have thought people are getting paid to play video games?
Heck yeah.
I miss that wave. Yeah.
And they're getting paid a lot of money.
They get paid a lot.
Still think, and I don't know nothing about video games besides like N64 and, you know, the older games from the 90s. Like, I still think we need to set up a Twitch studio up here. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Where they like, they stream their video games and people can come in and play in one of these offices and like, it's all streamed live and it's, yeah. I think we need to do that. But anyways, I don't know.
That's
those guys are getting millions of dollars like a month.
Seriously.
Playing, yeah.
And now,
really popular ones.
Well, now with like EA Sports, too, I was watching some show and it was the World Championship of FIFA. And like, it was legit. It looked like the Super Bowl. I mean, like,
the stadiums.
Yeah.
Around the world. Like, and you got like six people in the middle, like playing a video game. And it's just tons of people that are like, how did this happen?
There is a building. If it's like in Pittsburgh, I think, but there's a venue. It's like a stadium, and it was built for multiple uses, but one of the specific reasons this facility was built was for esports events.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a stadium. Hey, if it works, if people like
it.
Yeah, exactly.
It works.
So we had Nerding Out on the podcast.
Yep.
And one thing that we talked about on that podcast was just like people nerd out about different stuff. So within the construction industry, what is it that you nerd out about? Is there something that now you just enjoy the certain type of projects or aspects or like what is it?
I get really nerdy about lots of stuff in construction, like almost everything. It seems like every project there's really neat things that come up. I guess I've got here's like a mesh of real nerd and construction nerd coming together. So we're doing some remodeling at this little building. It's actually pretty close downtown here. It's going to be it's called the incubator for the Rochester Public Schools.
Oh, yep.
They're going to move in there.
Yep.
And have entrepreneurship type classes in there. Anyway, this building it's been through its paces. Let's put it that way. It used to be the Loving Fun Lingerie building.
Yep.
Remember, that was what made the building iconic.
Yep.
I was growing up.
Yep. But it was Loving Fun. Mm-hmm.
In any case, back in like middle school, there was a coin shop that was like part of that building.
Huh.
And in the basement of the coin shop, they used to have magic card tournaments. Or like, yes. It was like more like exhibition. You know, you go down. You guys know magic cards?
Yep.
Am I totally crazy?
No, nope, nope. You know, so, we talked about it on the Nerding Out. Absolutely.
Before Pokemon cards.
Yes.
Magic cards.
Yep.
So anyway, I used to play Magic. Super big nerd, right? So I used to go to this place and go into the basement of the lingerie shop. Basically.
It wasn't the lingerie shop then. It was the coin shop, though, right?
Well, I think it was half and half.
Oh, was
I think
it?
There was two sides.
That makes sense.
One side. But yeah, I used to get dropped off and drive. You know, get dropped off there. And looking back on it, it's like, huh, that's kind of weird. You got dropped off.
Yeah, I'll be over
made
here.
My friend. And
they're like,
just go in the basement of this place with, you know, other kids and adults and play magic cards for hours and then, like, leave, I, you know.
Yeah.
So we're remodeling this building. It's where my story was going. And so it's like going down memory lane. Mm-hmm. And in the building it's pretty tired. So it's a good thing that it's kind of getting updated and just thinking, man, I used to come here and go in the basement. And so anyway, that's my real nerd slash reminiscing about construction and being a construction nerd that way.
Yeah.
One, I was gonna say the only way I knew about that project is we were just down there doing that video.
Yeah, I'll put it out there today, probably on social media, but Josh has been helping do the market updates where we go around town, and we kind of switched it up this week where we went to just different projects, and instead of, we usually do it with a person, we just kind of walked around, and we walked up on that building, and I think I said it right. I said Incubator EDU. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Okay.
So,
not knowing much about it outside of Rochester Public Schools is the one that's helping make this happen. What more can you explain?
I mean, that's the basics of it. So they're going to be just over half of the building, I think, will be for the incubator, and then the other half is actually still for lease.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So, yeah, the north half. But okay. It seems like a good program, you know, to get some kids in, mix in with the business community and learning about entrepreneurship.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
You should be a teacher. You know, you could tell your entrepreneurship story, and the kids would gravitate towards that. I think it's high school age kids.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Any idea how the programming will work? Like, do they go during school hours? Do they go off of school hours?
You know, I wish I had the pamphlet so I could be totally accurate on it. But I think they've put some stuff out about how they're going to program it. But
okay.
I believe it's a class. Like, you'd sign up for this class and then get brought down to the building for the class. And but yeah.
That's cool.
In lieu of trying it and then not getting it right, I
was going to take that. Find out more at registerpublicschools.edu.
K12.mn.us.
.edu.
Google.
That's the truth.
Just Google it. Google it.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. another thing that I think you nerd out about is, do you help with, I've not been to an event, but I am subscribed to the newsletter, Green Drinks. What is Green Drinks?
Oh, Green Drinks. Yeah, Green Drinks. I do nerd out about that, because that's like an intersection of two great things, I think, which is getting together with friends and having a beverage, which could be a beer, it could be something else, and then also talking about sustainability topics. So that's kind of the Green Drinks. And we usually meet the last Thursday of the month, and it's a pretty good size group now. It's grown to be, I don't know, 20 people or so show up every month, and there's usually a different topic about something in relation to a sustainability topic in Rochester or Southeast Minnesota. So I think actually the next one is next Thursday, the 29th, and it's going to be housed out at the Solar Connection office. Solar Connection is a local solar installer, and the topic is going to be kind of a case study of a green home that was built near town by the Vetting family. So they're going to kind of tell their story about how they got from bare land to a green home, and it should be pretty fascinating.
That's sweet.
Is that something that is open to the public, or you have to
So it's very informal. So there's like a framework that is greendrinks.org, and so it's this international framework for these Green Drinks, you know, branches or clubs, if you will. And so we're like greendrinks.org/RochMN.
Okay.
That could be wrong.
We just Google it.
Yeah.
Google it.
But cities all over America and all over the world, so they, you know, pull together, and it's pretty informal. So yeah, it's just a show up thing. So we have a Facebook page, and I think there's an email distribution list that kind of goes out a couple weeks before each one. And yeah, it's pretty good. So you get, you know, come hang out, have a beer, talk to people about green stuff. So yeah, that's every time, every meeting, there's like a informal round table. Introduce yourself, you know, why are you here? What do you like to do? And so I like beer, and I'm a green building enthusiast. So let's go.
Yep.
Why? You know, why are you a green building enthusiast? I mean, what is it about it, right? I don't know nothing about it.
So I would say that I really like when things are left better than they were before. You know, I don't know if that's something that comes from growing up and that's a rule of the house or something, you know, make sure it's cleaner than the last time you left it. But you know, with green buildings, it's pushing the envelope on energy efficiency, interior environment, good air quality, being, you know, having less material resources used for a building, you know, being sensitive in that way, managing our natural resources, whether it's air, water, raw materials, all that stuff. So when a building can be put together in such a way that it's, you know, pushing the limits on the newest efficient technologies, built very durably, you know, that gets me excited. So we're looking out the window at the Minnesota Biobusiness Center as an example of a building that was built to a green building standard back in, I think, 2007,
early 2008, 2000s, yeah,
maybe. So there aren't that many in town, you know, that have gone through kind of a full vetting or have been built to a green building standard, but there are several. But also, the greenest building is like the one that wasn't built, or maybe it was a renovation of a historic building that gives something a new, you know, a new lease, you know, a new 20, 30, 40, 50 more years of life that's been around for a long time. Don't have to take it down, don't have to put it in the landfill or what have you. So, but yeah, I do nerd out about green buildings, definitely. So I've toured a lot, like around the country. If we go to a place, I'm always talking to my wife about, okay, we got to go visit, you know, the California Academy of Sciences. Not because it's an awesome place to go, but because the building is so cool.
Yes.
We got to go check out this building. You know?
Are you like, we need to get into the building systems? Like, where's the furnace room in this joint? Like,
yeah. Right. What makes this thing run?
Yeah, right. So can I get up on your roof? Guy's like, what? That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like one that we're doing now. It's called the Reading Center out by a Costco.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a green building. And it's going to be it'll be a great learning environment for the students that go there. Their current building is down on Civic Center Drive. It's like right by Groom Transportation.
NUPA.
And NUPA, yeah. On Civic Center Drive. And that building is not, you know, conducive to a learning environment. It's cramped. It's got not a lot of natural light. The air quality isn't that good. And where they're going to be going is kind of built to this standard where it's going to have lots of natural light, which helps people feel good, helps people learn, and then great air quality. It's got some natural ventilation that's going to be going through it. So that one I'm very excited about when that's going to open, because it's going to help a lot of people, really. So when buildings can help people, that's exciting.
When spaces can help people, yeah, the whole combination of it.
Yeah.
I was just in a building yesterday, and it had geothermal. I couldn't explain geothermal, but it sounds really cool. Yeah. And the guy, the HVAC guy, Scott Oberg with United Heating and Cooling, is like, "This is an expensive system."
Yeah.
So, what is geothermal?
Like, nice.
What is geothermal?
Yeah. Oh man, the basics. I'll just go on the basics, because try to go into like the specifics.
No one listening understands
Yeah. Anyway, so the basics is we're using underground, we're using the earth, or we're using a lake, or we're using something natural as a heat sink, as a heat exchanger. So in the wintertime, you want to heat the building. So there's the underground, let's say, is 50 plus degrees or 50 degrees. So instead of taking 0 degree outside air or negative degree outside air, we're taking fluid, pumping it underground. It's heating up to be the temperature of whatever's underground, 50 degrees. And you're bringing in 50 degree liquid, which is a ton. It's way more massive than air is. So you've got all that much more heat to work with to start heating the building with.
Mm.
So that was probably a poor explanation.
No, that was good.
How we can loop fluid under the ground and bring it back in and kind of use that as the starting point for heating the building. So to go from 50 degree liquid to heating a space to 70 degrees is a lot easier than taking 0 degree air and trying to heat that up to 70 degrees.
Because that's normal. You got your natural gas furnace that is taking in the air, putting out the air, trying to heat it up. Heating it up if it's working.
And there, I mean, there's ways to make the air stuff more efficient too by, you know, doing heat exchangers where the exhaust air is passing by the incoming air and there's some heat transfer going on there. But geothermal just has a lot, it's got a lot greater potential to be super efficient. Usually it does cost a little more, but, you know, then it's offset by the operating costs and all that stuff. So
is solar being used for heat as well, or is it more so electric?
I would say the solar panels that you usually see are solar electric panels.
Okay.
So they're producing electricity. They're taking the sun's, you know, photons and turning that into electricity. But many, many buildings use the sun for free heat, because we're in Minnesota, so we're a heat-driven climate. And so every building is, I shouldn't say every building, most buildings are heat-driven. And so when they can take advantage of free heat just by orienting, you know, the building and the windows to take advantage of free southern exposure, and that's in a way heating with the sun. But you don't see a lot of the solar thermal panels that like heat hot water or There's some solar cladding that like preheats the air before it goes in the building, that kind of stuff. You don't see a ton of that. It's mostly just solar electric.
Back in high school, I built a solar panel for a science project. It was pretty cool. I don't know how it worked. It was literally like a tub of water. I took two squares of copper, burnt one of them on the stove. One wasn't burnt. You put salt in it. And then I hooked it up, and it was like generating electricity. I don't know how, but it did.
You were a genius. You see the potato. Ever seen like the potato batteries, or you know, people hook up electrodes into potatoes and stuff? No idea how that works, but it does.
It does work. That's cool. Beneke Construction today. So what are what would you just share about the company? Obviously, we got your website pulled up, and there's some beautiful projects. But like, what's going on? What's happening? What are you guys doing?
There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of activity in the market, just with Southeast Minnesota kind of having a being a little bit, there's a lot of stuff going on with DMC and people wanting to invest in their businesses, and the economy's fairly good, so there's confidence and we're definitely working on trying to build nice facilities, do some renovations around, and we're working in other places than just Rochester, just kind of in Southeast Minnesota. So we go over to Winona and Owatonna, and we got a project going in Mankato right now, just about to start one in northern Iowa. So yeah, it's a lot of folks that are interested in earning a good living in construction. Commercial construction is a good place to do that, and especially when a lot of stuff is going on, there's great opportunity to make a good living, and it's a very honest living. It's earned living. I mean, it's hard work, but that's what people like about it, I think, is that you can point to tangible things at the end of the day or at the end of a project, and you can say, I helped build that. And that's pretty cool to be able to, to show your kids or to just think about, pretty tangible industry.
Yeah. That's fun.
There's definitely a lot going on, and that's been fun. It's been really fun to meet business owners that are looking to expand, and we're doing a couple of restaurants right now out on West Circle as well. And when people have the confidence to take a risk, that's really cool. And we're a lag. We're kind of a lag. We're in the service industry where there's an idea or somebody wants to invest or take a leap and take a risk. We're coming along with that. And there's risk in doing the work too, but it's the taking it from idea and saying, this is going to now happen. And they're signing contracts, and they're, sometimes going to get a loan and all this stuff. That's pretty cool to watch people take that leap and be along with it.
And then in turn, see it be successful. I imagine just the fingerprint of, I got to get that light to go on. The fingerprint of the company and how many projects you've been involved with. I can't imagine the history starting back in the 30s. Like it's in a lot of places, and there's probably a lot of people involved in every single aspect of those places.
Yeah. And that's like any industry, but it's all about people, it's people helping people working with people. I mean, none of us can do anything without a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And that's fun when people are helping people and there's like this similar goals in people's minds. I was joking with someone the other day because a lot of these projects, when let's say an entrepreneur or a business is saying, all right, we're going to do this now, and they're going to sign on it, and they're going to take that risk and they say, all right, Beneke, please help us with this facility. They're usually there along the ride. In a way, we think it's the starting line as the builder. It's like, okay, we're going to start building this thing. It's the starting line. But for the person that is driving the construction, it's like the finish line for them, because they've done all the pre-work, they've done all the feasibility. They're thinking about, how is this going to pencil out? Who's going to lease it or whatever? And by the time the construction contract is going, to them, all they got to do is wait now. they say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to wait for a little while, and then we're going to turn over the keys at the end, and then they can – that's a new starting line for them. But
yeah,
it's kind of funny. The start and the finish line are defined a little differently.
That's awesome.
It is.
What you thinking, Josh?
Obviously, Beneke's a big company. How do – like you're saying you're doing these jobs in different areas. How do they find you, or do they just know about you and contact you, or – like marketing on like a larger scale of commercial buildings and stuff like that?
Well, I expect the phone to actually be ringing off the hook in about, 20 minutes or so. It's 507-288-6575.
How'd you hear about us? Podcast. We want to build a huge hospital in Owatonna.
That's a good question. It's like the marketing and sales process for construction is such a long, it's a long process. Mm-hmm. Some people build a building every 10 years, It's not like people on a whim are thinking they're going through the yellow pages and they're like, all right, I got to build a building. Yeah. I'm going to call. Oh, it's Alvin E. Beneke. It's first in the phone book. Now it's Beneke Construction. It's second in the phone book.
Yeah, right.
So no, I don't know. I think it's mostly it's about people. So there's, in a lot of businesses, it's about relationships and, who you know. And if you've done a good job for people in the past, they'd be more likely to rely on you in the future. And word of mouth is a huge thing. And because building is, it's usually a big deal, for most businesses and individuals and people. It's not something that just happens all the time. So. But if I knew the secrets, I'd probably put more resources into, figuring that out. We are trying to get a little more active on, social media and trying to be a little more present in, I would say, just marketing circles. So that's something that we haven't done a lot of in the past is market. We're terrible marketers historically, but great builders, and we've got good people that have good relationships. So... yeah, maybe you could help me out.
I've noticed the Instagram game increase. I've noticed it. Just all day.
What are they all doing? All day.
Pumping all day. Up around here.
I've noticed the Instagram game increase, so that's cool to see. You must have somebody helping rock the Instagram.
Yep, Kelsey's helping with the Instagram.
Sweet.
And she does a good job with asking for input on project photos and stuff like that. So we have a shared album where people are dropping in project pics and stuff like that. And that's been pretty cool.
But just over like your iPhone?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Sweet. So that's a great idea.
Everybody's on the shared folder for iPhone photos and dropping in project stuff. And we usually,
and then she pulls from it and puts it out on social if she likes it. Oh, we need to do that at RGI. Yep. That's a great idea.
Wow. We have a strategy.
Why don't we do that? Yeah. Dude.
See, we're learning how to market.
Gosh darn it.
So that's been pretty cool, but I think what we're finding too is like Facebook as an example is equally or even more importantly for the families of employees, a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife could see what, their family is doing during the day and saying, that's pretty cool. You guys are working on that. Cause, when you get home at the end of the day, you're not always like just wanting to recap the day and exactly what happened. But family members really want to know, and good friends, they really want to know about what's going on with your daily job and your daily life. And so that's a way to kind of open it up that way, is to be able to post some stuff on Facebook. And it's not necessarily outward marketing for people that are looking to build a project, although I guess that's probably part of it. But it's mostly just to put things out there to let people in a little bit on what, their dad or their mom or their sister or their brother might be doing during the day.
What podcasts are you listening to?
There's a good one that I listen to a lot, and it's a Construction Nerds podcast.
I've listened to it before, I think.
It's called Contech Trio.
Yes. I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, actually, they do a new one. I think it's every Friday, so there's probably a new one coming out today. And you know, people listen at different times, and I'm usually either mowing the lawn or, you know, out on a jog or something like that, and that's when you stick in the earphones and get caught up on some podcasts. So.
And they talk about tech in the construction area.
Yeah, pretty much just technology, you know, new softwares and tools and safety, like wearables is a big thing in construction. So yeah, they're going through all the stuff from, you know, drones, laser scanning, these wearable, you know, things that can take your biometrics and understand if people are, you know, having a, in the summertime, it gets really hot. So, you know, wanting to predict if people are having, having a hard time with heat.
Yep.
But yeah, they talk about all the different things in construction and what kind of advancements there's going to be, because there is going to be a major change, I think, in how facilities are built. And you see a lot of prefabrication now where components of a building are prefabricated offsite, and then they're brought to the site and put in place. Entire buildings are being built this way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on a kind of a more mainstream scale, it's just parts and pieces right now. So you can prefabricate, let's say, a stretch of pipe or a stretch of duct that has a certain bend to it, and then bring it to the site and plug it in kind of a bigger piece, instead of everything just being done in the field, one stick at a time, you know. I mean, one of these buildings we're doing now, we built the walls on the ground before they were ready to stand. So as the foundations are going, we've got another crew building the walls, so that when the foundations are done, we just stand up the walls and move on with the building.
Instead Was that the barbecue restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, and that's made me think of it, and it's probably how Taco Bell is being built too, because like, I drove by one day, there's no building. I drove by the next day, and it's like, yeah. Where did that thing come from? Like, yeah. You know? Yeah. Man, they must have had a lot of guys there yesterday.
And it was so easy. Yeah, some of the fast food stuff has been this kind of prefabricated wall panels, and so basically 5 days. You know, I think that Taco Bell went up in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, and just come out, they're on a truck, stand them up, move on. Now there's pros and cons with doing that. You know, but I do think there's going to be more of that prefabrication, modularization. You know, that's going to make projects go faster. Because right. it does take a long time to build facilities. I mean, it takes months or even years to build some of these buildings in town. And like I said, an owner is at the finish line, and we're starting. Mm. And some are more patient than others. Let's put it that way.
Will Beneke Construction ever own a robot? And will the robot help with any of the construction process?
I would say yes, you know, depending on the definition of robot, you know, will it be a like a android looking person that
just 50 feet tall just putting buildings together?
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, there are,
make sure he wears a branded shirt. We need everybody to know who he's working for.
Yep.
It's working for whatever that thing is.
Be a safety conundrum. Would this droid robot need to wear a hard hat, safety glasses, and gloves?
He has feelings.
I don't
too.
Know. But yeah, certainly, I think that there's a lot of machines that are coming into the industry that are helping with construction. I mean, if you look at, I mean, things that are being used now that do the work of, they do the work of a lot of manual labor. So like an excavator, you know, this is not a new machine, but can you imagine digging foundations out? You know, this is before
when Elvin
steam
started
shovel and stuff like that. Everything at one time was done just with people power.
Yeah,
you know, and a lever, you know, is like the tool. And
we forget about that, don't we?
It just keeps evolving.
Just get the whole town
we totally
together
forget about that.
Build one building.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd they build the pyramids? Well, they
the
pulled
pyramids
up the excavator and
yeah.
Gosh.
But yeah, there's like videos on YouTube of all kinds of different companies looking to make you know, machines that will do a lot of work, and some of them are a long ways off from being a real thing. I think it's probably more realistic to focus on this prefabrication and kind of in-shop building. So prefabrication of elements or wall panels or whatever, and then bringing those things to a job site and putting them in place with a crane, with a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more likely what's gonna go.
I was on Facebook and I saw a like this robot was 3D printing a home with concrete. So it was like tracing like the home, and like they just build the entire home. I mean, full concrete, but
yeah,
it's kind of interesting. Just like see it little layer by layer.
That's probably the first robot. If I had to guess, I don't know the industry, but if it's like, it's going to be a 3D printer of some sort, I consider that a robot. And that's, it's going to do something.
There's stuff. Yeah. Right. Online about, you know, people building modules or even an entire house or whatever with a 3D printer. And I do think that's a technology that's going to have a place. It's just a matter of what the material is going to be, mm-hmm. you know, what the finish is going to be, and you know, how cost effective is it going to be?
Right.
But yes, I mean, that's already coming into the industry and making a splash, the 3D printing.
That's cool. We made it, guys. We made it to the end of the podcast. We all have to now go back to work because the day is not over. What's on your agenda, Josh? Are you actually going to work, or are you just
going
to...
I got to go edit videos.
There you go.
Finish people's projects. Yep.
What project are you working on?
Right now, got a few homes that we're editing videos for.
Real estate?
Yep, real estate. Just finished up the Lux Salon video. And then Jake's got a few little projects here and there. Wedding tomorrow.
Oh, you're videotaping it?
Yep.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Very nice.
I got to go show an apartment.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I was going to go sit by my phone. 288-657.
And wait for all these calls to come.
Yep.
No. Does that actually go to the office or yourself personally? That goes to the office,
that's
right?
The office. Okay. Line, yeah.
Just blowing up right now.
Yeah.
What is going on?
It's good.
I'm going to swing by the incubator, actually.
Oh, good. Check on that.
Go down memory lane with the magic cards thing.
You find any in the walls yet?
No magic cards. We did find some like wallpapering from when it used to be the former shop that it was. So
interesting.
You find some things here and there. Yeah.
That's cool. People want to learn more about Beneke Construction, where should they go?
I probably send them to the website first and foremost, Beneke.com.
Awesome.
You don't have to do the W's anymore, right? HTTP.
Just Google it. Yeah. People want to find out more. Google Beneke Construction.
That's right. I appreciate you guys having me on. This has been a good time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for joining. Yeah. We have an event here Saturday, so if you're interested in coming up for it's called Hope Movement. That's tomorrow, Saturday. It's already Friday. And Akon C and some others are going to tomorrow afternoon. It's right during that noon hour. Have some artists up here, musicians. It's just for a good cause related to their Hope Movement here in Rochester. And so they're using the space. Feel free to come up and check it out. And that's what we got going in China Hall. How do people find out more about MediaCorp?
Social media and our website, MediaCorpMarketing.com.
Bada bing, bada boom. Thanks for joining, Mike.
Thank you.
See ya. Done.
Boom. Nice. Terrific. Job.
Nice.
Thank you. That was fun. Yeah,
it
was fun.
Is that your first live video podcast?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I'm a dinosaur. Resisting still.